The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a folksy, a legendary, I don't know what you mean. Welcome into Hysteria 51. This is Brent, and we got someone in parts unknown Colorado. Joining
Who
us
is
as
it?
Always. I don't know, but he's got
a sexy
voice.
This dude blows.
And well, we got robots too, but David Flora, how goes it?
Oh, it's going. Doing all right these days.
Did you miss the robots?
Here, actually, finally.
Did you? I was going to say, did you miss the robots? I think you missed the sun more than anything. It's actually cooling down here. We've had like 90 degrees, and then there was like 50s in the last couple of days, as soon as we opened the pool.
90. Good grief.
Yeah. You're warming up.
How are you liking the 40? Is humidity getting to you?
No, it's not humid yet. It's nothing to. Looking online, it's about like what it was in Chicago, which is disgusting. So we'll have same summer and way better winter. So I'm going to take it.
Sounds good.
And Conspiracy Bet is joining us from back home in Chicagoland. He jumped on the line because people were like, where the hell is Conspiracy Bot? Which is weird because I think, I felt most people just hate him like we do.
Feel free to place a used colostomy bag in your dick hole you chode.
Yeah, I think people are just literally saying, where is he? He is not in my visual range right now.
Like
he could be behind me with a knife.
If you cannot see him. Panic kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to make sure I was on this episode of the Twat and Skank Show because most of the folklore celebrating people is actually just shit I have done throughout history while on bot booze. I fucking rule.
Seabot needs a code update because I think either the Y2K bug hit him or something.
Here is a live cheat code for you, David. Eat my ass with a spork.
Wow, what a good code. Yeah, did you write that yourself?
I directed Kyle to head to parts unknown to kill your ass, David.
Yeah, Kyle has been quiet.
Because he isn't here, he is literally headed to kill David.
I don't think you have anything to worry about there, sir.
It'll be like that robot that traveled across America or whatever and then ended up getting killed in
Philly
or
whatever. Speaking of folklore and legends, the legend of it made it like all across, what was it, Canada and hitchhiked. Got to America and it was raped and destroyed in 39 minutes.
Yeah. It's like the side of the road.
Probably not something that we should celebrate, but it is on brand. What are you going to do? We are talking folklore this week. I've been traveling with, it's been the month of articles and we are, this is the last one. And I sent this one to Dave and he's like, fuck your, and he salivated the mouth. Because this one comes to us from our friends and former colleagues at How Stuff Works. We were a How Stuff Works show for a time there before they got bought out by a nameless
Discovery?
Company. this one is called Nine Legends of American Folklore. David, you are a folklorist. You suffer from you got bitten by the folklore bug. What is it called? You've got the
folksy shakes.
That's just a really polite way to say you're
vapors.
A drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
You
thanks,
have
thanks
for
calling it out.
You've had a lot. You've had a lot of folklore. Well, there's a name for the people that what is it that like teach it and do it, isn't there?
It's just folklorist.
Folklorist. Okay,
I did. Yeah,
I'm a folklologist.
Also nerd.
Yeah, how about that? But I mean, people get paid to do this like in college. All right, class, I want your papers on John Henry immediately.
All right, class, I have erected this giant wall. You have to break through it with a silver hammer.
Judging by your wife's blog, that is about all you can erect anymore.
He's had nothing but time sitting there alone and sad. So,
do you ever feel he's just flirting? He's just flirting with you? Oh,
yeah. You know, you hear about that, right? Like, dudes that really like girls will just be an asshole to them.
Yeah, but he doesn't got it down, right? So, you know, they pull their hair and push him. He's stabbing you and trying to poison you. Man, he's in love.
It's his love language.
When you get stuck between the moon and conspiracy bot, the best you can do is fucking kill him.
Well, it sounds like Cross. A commercial jingle.
Hey, that's Christopher Cross. Speaking of American folklore, that is the yacht rock king of America. I'll tell you that right now. What brought you to love folklore like you have? Like you've talked so much of it. You've done so much more on Blurry Hysteria. Thanks, Captain Freud. Blurry photos there. Then we have what was your kind of first? Were you in it as a child? I guess. And then what made you want to like focus on this on their show much more than?
Well,
we did?
I was super into it as a kid. Of course, you know, there's a lot of the fun tall tales and things as American kids learn. And we'll get back to this. I don't know if they actually learn about it these days or not.
Right. But,
the mythology books in the school library and stuff I would check out every week. And that's another topic I don't know if we circle back to or not, but there is a mythology versus folklore kind of thing. But it's really like everything's kind of intertwined.
Their pay-per-view is next weekend, actually. It's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, although I feel like mythology's kind of getting old in the game.
Long in the
tooth. See how many rope dives he has left. Anyways, folklore and mythology are they're different, but they are very similar. And one could say that mythology is a subset of folklore, and one could say that folklore is a subset of mythology. But in reality, they're kind of all a subset of a culture, and different cultures and just the different ways they express themselves have always been something that's fascinated me. So with folklore, and I said this, I think, last show, it's not just tales. People think of it as just stories, right?
Mm, yeah.
But it's so much more than that. You've got folk dances. You've got folk art. Folk music.
But wait, there's more.
I mean, you could keep going. It's like
folk gumbo.
I heard
folk-based religion.
Fried folk.
Fried folk. Folk sandwiches.
But I've heard it described positions. Once. Folk salad Annie.
I'm going to give you the blue ox, baby.
I've heard it described as... If you think with this analogy, if you think of rock and roll, think of music that's considered rock and roll. Can you name some, Brent? Just name some rock and roll, like genres of rock and roll.
Well, there's hair metal you could go into. There's hard rock. There's yacht rock, which we've already crossed that bridge.
Yeah, nice.
There is easy listening. You know, I guess if you want to call
classic,
that rock.
Classic, punk, heavy, like...
Acid metal. So think of how... Acid metal, like acid metal.
We gotta hit progressive metal.
Yeah. New wave. Get them all in there.
Just with rock and roll, you can start to see how there's all these different kinds of subsets in there. And it's kind of the same way with folk stuff. Of course, folk started out with folk being just the common people. That's a very, you know, basic understanding of the term folk. And it's a way for a culture to express itself. And it's all these different things. So the lore of it, the lore can encompass all these different the dances, the stories, the art, the music. That's lore.
Yeah.
So you've got it's kind of like common people's lore. Title
if we ever wanted to start a new one, just lore.
You know, I don't know if it would take off.
I don't know either.
Yeah, you probably couldn't get a show out of that.
Yeah.
Folk yeah would be awesome. That would be good. Folk, yeah. It's probably already out there. I mean, probably has been done.
See, I didn't even look at that, and someone's like, those motherfuckers.
But one more quick.
Oh yeah, sorry. As I digress,
one more quick thing to differentiate it. You think of mythology; it's a way to explain the big questions, and that's a very high up view of a subject matter, and it's a lot of times tied into religion. Not every time, but it's mythology can be this way to explain things. Folklore is a way that you zoom in a little bit, and it's a smaller subset of explaining things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a
I've never thought of it as like that definition. This all-encompassing term that has so many subsets and genres. That whole the way you put it, the music was a really good way to put it.
Right.
Yeah. Also, side note, the folk yeah podcast. There was 1, 2, 3 episodes and an intro in 2020, and I want to read this to you. Welcome to the first ever Folk Yeah podcast created by the Fall 2020 Folk Yeah Archway Seminar at the Wesleyan Nebraska University. December 6th and 7th of 2020 was a very, very busy time for them. And wow. Then they went away. Oh, man. So, say lovey.
Isn't that how it works? Like, and now, like, can you use that name anymore?
I mean, if you wanted to, you could reach out to them, you know?
And, I guess, yeah.
Or just steal it like other people have done, you know? Hey.
Yeah.
You know, and wait for
or
that
or just slightly change it up. Like, there's now a Blurry Creatures podcast. Ooh. And I'm like, wow, good one, guys. But anyway.
That one is kind of, man, that is on the nose. Not to digress, but one of the fun things that I like to do is just to go to Google or whatever and type in the Serifity one and hit shopping and just see who's stealing our stuff and trying to sell it.
That has happened so much.
And I saw a Linus Tech Tips. I don't know if you ever follow them. They have that happen a lot. And they once bought a whole bunch of their knockoff stuff and bought it and like just did like a review of them. I thought that was hilarious. Like, jeez. Here's the this and the that and the other. So, yeah, what are you going to do?
Oh, man.
So you said you would read them in high school and stuff like that. Were your parents the people that did you? Because I remember in school when I was young, we had this guy, his name was Dan Ketting, and he would come in and he would just tell stories, you know, the folklore and stuff like that. And I always really enjoyed it. Did you have stuff like that? Because I know, and maybe a uniquely American thing. I don't know. But there's so much of that in Europe and other places. I just don't know if that's something that you guys could, I'd love to hear you let us know. Did you grow up having stuff like that happen?
They were too busy eating boiled food and worshiping in breads.
And building wicker men.
I just love how these tells, you know, I think it's a child's imagination that gets you hooked. Mm. And then some people just run with it. And you have you done an episode? Well, I don't want to say you have a favorite, but you, in the past, have you done an episode you love, or you have a person on that told stories and stuff like that you thought was just fantastic?
Yeah. Well, I had mentioned the name, in one of these past episodes, but Lynn McNeil, mm-hmm. Dr. Lynn McNeil from, I think it was Utah State, university, maybe. She does a fantastic job of talking about folklore and making it really fun and accessible. And her enthusiasm is what really draws you in and keeps you listening. So she does a good job. She's been on that episode. We talked about digital folklore.
And that's a real doctor, not like your quote unquote doctorate in parapsychology that you got from those Learning Annex online schools, right?
Exactly. She knows what she's talking about and didn't
you really did that though. For anyone listening, you actually studied that stuff online.
I do have a correspondence degree in astrology and parapsychology. Yeah, from the Stratford Career Institute. Same place I could have gotten certified as an electrician, mind you.
TV VCR repair? Nah, give me the demons.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to have to figure out whether black bars on 3 and 9 when I can be going into houses looking for demons. I'm making fun of you. I'm a little jealous. And I didn't got that $40 to pay for that doctorate. So,
it was fun because I got a lot of good books out of it. You know,
but there were
a couple times I had to write them and be like, "You marked me incorrect, but here is why I was correct." And they're like, "Oh, sorry, we'll change it."
Oh my god, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. Speaking of books, I don't know if I told you this, not to change subject real quick. I went to art. So our library has a for sale section, and I love it. Like hardback books are like 25. No, they're 50 cents, and like paperbacks are 25 cents. It's stupid cheap. And sometimes it's because they have too many copies. You know, sometimes it's so. Yeah. Anyway, someone dumped on them. This was like a year better ago, like 50, 60 Scientology books.
Oh,
like the ones like you wow. get as you go through it.
Yeah,
and well. I was them all, and I'm like walking up with like they have a little cart, and they're like, "We wondered." They're like, "We knew that if we put those out there, one person's gonna be like, yep." So I got like every Scientology book I could get for like $25, you know, and most of them are still in like the wrappers and shit like that. So probably hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of their books, you know, or God knows what they charge for them, but. You know, that's well, not folklore,
what they charge
though. That's
and what
truth.
They're worth.
That's truth. And you'd know that if your feet levels, feet and whatever.
Thetans, yeah.
Yeah. They were Xenu in line.
Approves, yeah.
And we're all just space clams. It's okay. So, I went on a tangent there, and I apologize.
Oh, it's all right. So you asked about school and stuff.
Yeah.
So I definitely saw a lot of Disney cartoons in school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this is mostly like American Tall Tales, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But, you know, they were fun.
Right.
I don't think that did much to move the needle for me and my interest. It was mostly the mythology books. But I appreciate them. And, you know, I understood these are legends. These weren't real people. Obviously, there's not a giant man who's making the Rio Grande River because he plowed it with his giant ox. So,
I mean, if he sure, he
didn't,
you know,
he didn't wrestle with this ox and create the Black Hills, you know,
we're pretending it's pretending time right now. Okay. Okay. So yeah, that didn't happen. All right.
But the, you know, the thing with folklore is, there are some scholars that point out like what it does for a culture, and one of the things that's often pointed out is that it teaches lessons. So there's often a moral component or a lesson to be learned in these stories, in this art and music and everything.
Yeah. And most of your, speaking of Disney and these things, you got most of your upbringing and personality from repeatedly watching Song of the South and loving Uncle Remus, right?
I've got a story about that.
Oh, God. Jesus, I don't know what to say. But
well,
my body is ready.
I did read Just So Stories, Uncle Remus Tales, mm-hmm. as a kid. And, you know, I don't know if my mom knew, you know, that it was, that it was pretty... stereotypical black slave kind of, you know, that this,
at surface level, when you're a kid, you're not picking up on those things.
Well, as a kid, I definitely didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't know, you know, I was just like, oh, I love these characters of Br'er Fox and, you know, Br'er Rabbit.
Yeah.
And, all this stuff. And I just enjoy the stories because a lot of them are funny. But, you know, and that's, you could go into, mm-hmm. That is an important step in African American studies and literature,
mm-hmm.
And also folklore and customs and culture. So they have their place for sure. But I checked out this book once from the library, and when when you go to the libraries once a week, probably, you know, you go to during elementary mm-hmm. school. And the next week I dropped it off in the book drop off, and we were having library class or whatever, you know, we did during library. And about halfway through, the library assistant, I remember, was like, "Oh, so-and-so," the head librarian, oh my gosh, look at this. Someone checked this book out. Oh, my God. And they just made a big deal about it. And I just kind of sat there kind of like, what the fuck's going on?
Right.
What is this?
Now, you can read some of the titles of the other Uncle Remus stuff, and they are problematic, but they're also important parts of history that they probably didn't understand that part of it either. You know, it's not everything's black and white, and they knew that it was not intended.
Yeah, they knew enough that it was problematic and could be considered mm-hmm. racist, but I don't think we, especially where I grew up, had advanced enough to, mm-hmm. to be like, hey, you can look at this from a cultural aspect and see that there's worth in it. And,
yeah.
You know, that, yes, the term tar baby is in there, mm-hmm. but there's a reason. And these are the stories that came from, you know, the African-American diaspora that was in the South at the time. So,
yeah.
That kind of, I think their hearts were in the right place, but I had no idea. It wasn't until a lot later that I realized why they were making such a big deal, you know?
Right. And not to, you know, the stuff that you're talking about, you said, you know, there's a racial term, but the Tar Baby. Tar Baby and Other Rhymes of Uncle Remus is one of the books that I remember as a child, too, and that is considered like an American classic now.
Yeah.
And it's taught in colleges and things because of, when you get past the surface level, there's a lot more to it that people probably don't realize, you know. And it's sad or interesting. I don't know if it's sad when you look at folklore, because I think a distinction we're going to make, and we're going to talk about, you know, famous American folklore after the break here, but you have these you talked about the blue ox and things like that. Then you have these characters, you know, that can be realistic in one way or another, like your Uncle Remus that tells stories, uh-huh. or Sally Ride, an astronaut, you know, that almost becomes folklore because they're such a large character, astronauts in and of themselves, police, firemen, you know, you look at Davy Crockett,
you're bringing up heroes.
Right. And where does that cut? Is it crossover to folklore to you?
It can.
I think it does. Can. And it's in some ways.
I'll give you an example real quick. There's a story about 9/11 and a seeing eye dog that helped a blind man get out of a tower, down the steps and supposedly helped people along the way that were in the stairs or whatever. I think it's been very much embellished, but a dog becomes an icon of heroism,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's one of those things where that's almost impossible to prove at this point, and probably even in the days afterwards, if the story had gotten out, because like, how do you prove that? You know,
a
tragedy like that, especially it's not a provable thing, but it's something people want to be true. And they want to aspire to this virtue. You know what I mean?
Well, so, you're right. It's a thing. It's a thing that you tell. The truth takes us on, or the story takes us on its own legs, so to speak. And, you have folklore really caught on when people were doing the word of mouth things. You know, you're sitting around the campfire talking to your friends. Plantations, slaves mm-hmm. would sit and they would tell stories of slaves that got away or better times. And that becomes part of Americana or wherever they are. You know, we're focusing on America. That's why I keep saying America for this one, because, you know, that's what we grew up with. But
it's a good place to start.
Folklore was a way of escape for a lot of people.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another one of the things that folklore can do, you know, besides teaching a lesson or getting ideas out there. It also is a way for us to be entertained, for us to entertain ourselves.
When I want to teach Kyle something, I just break out my beaten stick.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what my mother thought worked too. So there is that.
It has its place in Americana.
My mother had a paddle that she would spank us with. Oh, and she doodled.
This sounds like the start of a nursery rhyme.
My mother had a paddle. She would doodle on it. It had my name on it. Like, who the hell does that?
Oh, my.
Well, I got some time on my hands. Might as well decorate my beaten paddle.
This one's specially for you.
Oh, man. Now,
go out there and get me a switch, and I'll carve your name into it, too.
She was a master of aerodynamics, so it really hurt. She got her PhD from that correspondence school you went to. What was it called? The Philip
Stratford. Stratford career.
I never forget Sally Struthers would call every week, you beating that ass. No, you fucking correspondence school hacking bitch. Let's go to break real quick while I work through some mental memories.
Exercise some demons here real quick on the old bow flex.
When we come back, we're going to hop on over to the article of the week. I said 9 Legends of American Folklore from House of Forks. We're going to talk about a few of those. That's up after this break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years. And there's over 25 different languages that you can learn. And people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in. And you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient. And you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value. And you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use. And we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term. And it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now. Right now. Get started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine, Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today. Bum, 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 bum.
Speaking of carving, you want me to put your name on my chud?
I don't know how that... I don't like how that sounds.
What? I keep my chud clean, but I'd make a special spot for you right on the tip of that chud.
Starting to think this is kind of a tattoo or something.
Man, you know? I thought they took his chud away, but I guess, what are you working that on, a new one or something, buddy?
Damn straight. This one is even bigger, and I stroked this chud for more power.
It sounds like Seabot's releasing his own album titled Folklore.
I mean, I don't like the fact that I said stroking chud and you said release that quickly afterwards, but that's the way it goes.
He's doing it. He's infecting us.
He's fine. That does happen when you play with his chud. You get infected. Let's look at this list. Why don't you take it away? Because this is your right in your wheelhouse.
Sure.
These are some of the big ones, and a couple of them I wasn't even familiar with. I'm not going to like.
Yeah.
I'm reading. I read what I see, so I would never be able to. Maybe I would be good on the news. Anyway,
well,
hit us with these.
Unless you know Braille, that's kind of how it works. Anyway, I've already mentioned this dude, Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
The thing is, he started out French Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because there's a lot of logging going on up in Minnesota, North Dakota, upper peninsula, Michigan, like that's where he kind of got yanked from the French Canadians and became an American icon, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And his footprints created the 10,000 Lakes of Minnesota. He was dragging his pickaxe behind him or whatever you want to say.
The axe.
And that's what made the Grand Canyon. And, you know,
and he found an ox. Mm-hmm. It was a blue ox and it was almost as big as he was. So he was a giant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, could have started out with, oh, I knew this lumberjack who was the biggest, strongest dude I'd ever seen. You know, maybe he was like 6'10 or something and like 300 pounds.
Right.
And that just grew from there.
Well, and
I
want to tell you, I was a lumberjack and I'm okay. You know, you sleep all night and you work all day.
It sounds like a pretty good life.
Cut down trees, you wear high heels, suspend tees in a bra.
It's what you do.
Thank you, Monty Python. Anyway, yeah, this is a big one, man. This is the one that everyone knows or has probably heard of, especially the blue ox. Yeah, he's got a big blue ox.
The fun
wrestled,
thing,
like you said.
Yeah, I wrestled with him and they became best of friends. This one is a fun one because it also goes into the realm of mythology where it's explaining how things came to be.
Well, he was delivered to Earth by five giant storks, so that's how he came to be.
he's kind of the original Superman, right?
Yeah, you know, he's only outshined by Bill Brasky.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Bill Brasky goes about 6'10", 590. I once saw Bill Brasky. What did he say? I once saw Bill Brasky date rape Karl Malone on a dare. Jeez. I once saw Bill Brasky scissor kick Angela Lansbury.
Poor Carl.
We did a sketch based on that in college. We had a dude that we just told just things and anecdotes like that. It was like this guy's legs are actually two Vietnamese children. Like,
you know, he uses a live cobra for a condom. And I love in those, if you guys have never seen this, an SNL sketch, Bill Brasky, one of them just like, I never learned to read.
Yeah. And the I drive a Dodge Stratus.
Stuff
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, Paul Bunyan is just a giant lumberjack, has a blue ox that's huge as well.
And, yeah.
And he goes around and takes down whole forests with a single swing and makes all these landmarks and then rides off into the sunset.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to ride. He just has to walk. But
you're right. Yeah, it doesn't take long.
Just skip to the bullshit John Henry story where Fantasyland comes to town and a human beats a machine.
Yeah, yeah. C-Bot would have an interest in this one because this is where the dangers, the warnings of the Industrial Revolution to come really shine.
Yeah.
So John Henry is one of the, I would probably say few African-American icons of tall tales. Would you agree with
that? Yeah, I would say so. You know, you don't see a lot of women. You don't see a lot of African-Americans that are celebrated in these folklore and stuff. It says that there probably was a real John Henry. You know, at least
there could have been.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
they said he was around 6 feet tall and weighed more than 200 pounds, which is realistic. He didn't, take a deuce, and that created Utah or whatever, like the shit they say about Paul Bunyan.
I'd say Florida, but
sorry. he once drooled his way to Poughkeepsie. You know, it's like I don't know. Anyway, he's big enough to guarantee he'd be given tough work. You know, if you're that way, because they say that he was a slave. You know, and so
yes, and this came out of the railroad camps at the time. So you're mid 1800s in this, and it's when they build railroads, you kind of have to work with the land because turning isn't a big option for trains. Gentle curves are the way to go, unless you're from Altoona, like our friend Jay from Project Skeptic.
Yeah,
but with railroads, you kind of got to work with the land, and sometimes that meant you had to go through hills and mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And so the worst work was building railroad tunnels and just working in the hills of Appalachia to do this. And this is why you have the most horrible job conditions, and it was given to slaves and immigrants and migrant workers, Chinese, came over to work. They would be put on there. Irish folk would be on there. So the legends came out of who could swing a hammer the best, who was the most accurate at hitting the spikes in the railroads, who was the most, who was the fastest at carving out these tunnels and stuff. And John Henry came out of this.
Mm-hmm. And this is another one, too, that I saw a lot of cartoons for as a child and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and it's a sad one, too, because supposedly he said he was faster than the growing machinery, and then he challenged them.
The Industrial Revolution, steam power was the new thing, right? And so you could take a machine and do the work of 10 men in an hour, with one machine, whereas it would take a whole day for these men to do the same job. But John Henry said, no, fuck that. There's no machine that can beat a living, breathing, thinking human. And so
cough.
Yeah, exactly. I've never seen you swing a hammer. I've seen you only get hammered.
I've seen him swig, and maybe, but it didn't have anything. Get hammered. Exactly. Yeah. So, and then he died. That's the kicker.
Yeah, in some accounts, he just won. He just barely eked out a win before collapsing from exhaustion.
Yeah.
In some accounts, the machinery one and kept going, and that's why we have, you know, machines do this kind of stuff today. So
yeah,
it's your preferential, it's dealer's choice, you know, on what
right.
the story, how it turns out.
Question: where was the lizard man from?
Scape Ore Swamp, South Carolina.
South Carolina. Too bad he wasn't there.
I think it was South Carolina. Let me double check.
You're right on Scape Ore Swamp. It's funny because it's too bad that they weren't camping out there at night, because he was just been there like, oh, you all need to unionize. Take care of yourselves in the heat, boys.
Yeah. And don't buy things from the company store. Yeah. Stand up for yourselves. You're stronger together.
You got any? You got any food?
Eat the rich, am I right, boys?
Seriously, eat them because I'm starving.
Seriously, you gonna finish that fat wallet leg? I don't know.
So moving on, this was one that I was not familiar with, and probably because it's a woman, this first woman on the list, and also probably a bunch of bullshit. As you do. Sally Ann Thunder and Whirlwind Crockett. Are you familiar with that one?
Sally Ann Thunder and Whirlwind Crockett, yep.
Are you familiar with that one?
Not as much as the other ones. Let's say like Annie Oakley or...
Yeah.
There was another one, but I have heard the name. It's not talked about much, but Davy Crockett is a big-time...
King of the Wild Frontier.
Icon, yeah,
Davy,
and I think
Davy Crockett.
That's what it, again, Disney.
Yeah,
they had that the Davy Crockett.
Come and spend
TV
money
show.
On a rat, Davy Crockett.
I killed him a bar when he was only three.
I'm being monumentarily backed by a Nazi sympathizer. Anyway, uh oh, Mr. Disney. Anyway, she was
she was married to him, right?
Reaching, tooting, gun shooting wife who wore a beehive, a real beehive for a hat, and enjoyed wrestling alligators, which they all fucking did. But just if you were important in the 1800s, you wrestled alligators.
Yeah, you knew how to pin a gator.
Like you heard of you know, seamstress Sally. Oh God, she's the best seamstress. She can out sew a 13 sewing machines, one of them's newfangled ones. Also, she wrestled alligators.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you know that or not. Oh, Blind Betty, she made it through the woods of Nantucket. I don't even know, you know, and she led the
rode on the back of a lobster.
And everyone, oh, she's also, she wrestles alligators in free time.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah, this is just your typical like tough cookie girl of the Wild West usually, but
yeah, you know,
Davy Crockett was from Tennessee.
Show,
I
she's
should
like
point
chewing
out.
on a nail and spitting out bullets and stuff. You know, just that.
Yeah.
You know, stupid crap.
Yeah, don't take nothing off nobody. You know, like
yeah, they didn't really have a lot of options for women in these. You know, it was just kind of that.
Well, yeah, don't you like that? It's like when there's a woman on the list, it's like, oh, yeah, she was married to one of these guys and was just tough.
Well, and so they said that the real Davy Crockett was frequently married, and none of them had Thunder in their name or anything. They don't think that she existed, but the stories do, and that's all that matters. And,
Davy Crockett was a statesman from Tennessee. He fought in the Alamo.
And he fought a bear, and he wrestled alligators in his spare time.
Yeah, all that stuff that is you can learn about in that song. Which is a great example of folklore.
Yes.
It's a tall tale condensed into a song, and we still sing it.
We do. Oh, do we? Oh, do we? Yeah, no, you're right. Moving on to one that every American kid probably has heard of, Johnny Appleseed. And I want to tell you something. I was always told that he wore his pot. You know, a cooking pot for a hat because he carries around. He wore a tin hat, which was just a type of hat that they used, but he did eat out of it. The real guy. So that's interesting to me, but we've been lied to. We've been lied to. Who is Johnny Appleseed?
The real guy was John Chapman. Mm-hmm. He was a dude that was around in the 1700s, and he tended orchards, and he owned a lot of land, apparently, in
Nurseryman,
Ohio and Indiana.
As they call them.
Nurseryman, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Of course, there's a religious aspect to this one, too, but I think he was just a dude that got around, and he was maybe, let's say he was like the... Bob Ross of his day, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's talking about conservationism, being kind to neighbors, making peace with Native Americans, things like that, and probably preaching the gospel, I don't know. But yeah, this is actually based on a real dude.
That's not the type of seed I would have dropped along my travels.
I thought you were traveling back then.
What does that mean? Like, what contraption? I don't even know. I don't want to know what contraption you have that would produce seeds. So
a lot of people go to is hang low, but that's not what that is. Not what that is. Mike Fink. I've never fucking even heard that name. That's the next one on our list.
Yeah.
Please describe Mike Fink to me.
Well, Mike Fink.
Mike Fink sounds like the guy in accounting that you got to go talk to. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I got to go talk to the Fink.
Yeah. Oh, no. Here comes Mike. Look out.
This one, Mike Fink at all costs. He's a time sucker.
You should have turned in your W-2 sooner. You need last year's adjusted gross income.
God. I can feel myself dying.
I like that the lizard man is slowly becoming Richard Dreyfuss.
I was in Jaws.
Mr. Holland's Opus. Yes. I learned how to conduct. Mike Fink is most closely, or at least in my mind, associated with riverboats.
Yeah.
I thought.
Keelboats,
And so this was a 19th century dude, or based on it, 1800s. And they say it's based on a real man born near Pittsburgh around 1780. And this dude, he could shoot a gun well. He was like a Chris Farley type, I think. He lived hard. He played hard.
He's a hard drinking, hard living dude who went around killing Native Americans. And to make a song, you know,
there's not much more about it. He's just a legend because he's like Bill Brasky. Right?
I think this is hilarious. They say that it was a real person, and they think that the tales came because he spread them himself. Then he would just go and tell people, "Hey, did you hear about that Mike Fink? Aren't you Mike Fink? Shut your fucking mouth." Anyway.
Punch.
They're still talking being half man, half alligator because, you know, one of them wrestling the situations turned to love making.
He wrestled them so much that they couldn't tell one from the other. Yeah.
And he was totally impervious to pain except for matters of the heart. All right. Let's
but his true
break
love
again.
Was a river.
He's going to take a lot of river.
Mississippi.
That is a Oak Ridge Boys song. Thank you very much. We're going to go to break, and we come back. We get a couple more of these, and we're gonna wrap it up with, I think, Conspiracy Bot's got a song for us. That's not true. We're not going to do that to you. That's up on Hysteria 51.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
No, I would never have conspiracy bots sing, because that, does he sing to you ever?
No.
Then you're welcome.
Exactly.
Who was Pecos Bill?
This is one of the top billing dudes, I think. He's one of the more known ones, again, I think because of these Disney cartoons.
Yeah.
Pecos Bill was kind of right under Paul Bunyan and John Henry, I think. Then you have Pecos Bill. But he is a legend of the Wild West. Mm-hmm. He's like the ideal cowboy that tamed the West. And
he had
all
that
his
hot
stories
piece of ass, Slew Foot Sue, that rode a fucking catfish.
Exactly, yeah. Slew Foot Sue.
It was a redhead.
What are some of those stories? He roped and rode a tornado.
Yeah, you know, he was like, to just whatever you could do, that was unbelievable. That was Pecos Bill. He was the best.
Yeah,
he's the best rancher, cattleman, the best, you know, hunter, the best
riding broncos,
sexual
bulls.
Pleaser of Slew Foot Sue, that a man could ever be. And as you do, you know, he ate beans out of a can every night by a campfire and sang songs and
rootin' tootin'.
Never ate a fucking scootin' drop of salsa that came from New York City.
No. That's him in a nutshell, basically. Like, it's American Southwest, usually, I think, is where he's set. But
another one, another real person on the list, Geronimo.
And this surprises me
that it's that on, this list. On the list. I didn't think that it was. I don't think him is folklore.
I don't either. No, because he was an actual dude and he did actual stuff.
Yeah,
he's a famous Apache leader from around Arizona, right? And
I never heard this part of it, though. It says that he killed thousands of people over the years using magical powers and ESP to seek them out. That's the folklore story. I've never heard that.
Nope.
I mean, I'm sure maybe that's just like something, maybe that's more of a Native Americans tell that or something like that. But
my recollection of Geronimo is that he was just a very strong, tough leader of the Apaches and withstood a lot of colonialization.
And if you're really into terrible movies, not terrible, but terrible jokes in movies, there's Geronimo, me. They're jumping out of the plane.
What was that, Naked Gun?
Yeah, I think so.
One of those? Or...
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That one's, I don't even. Then we got Old Stormalong. I don't know this one either.
This one I only know from a sea shanty. And I think this one we probably haven't heard a lot about because we're not coast babies.
Oh, gotcha.
We're not New Englanders. We weren't born and raised along the Northeast.
On our down easter Alexa cruising for Lock Island Sound.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
I've trotted a coast to the vineyard, but tonight I am Nantucket. But I said I wouldn't have conspiracy about singing. I didn't say I wasn't going to sing, you bastards.
Yeah, that's the fine print. Keep up. But this guy is the Pecos Bill of the sea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's the epitome of a sailor. He's probably a great lobsterman, a whaler probably. You know, it's just all the stories are about. Okay, well, what are the stuff that happens at sea on the masted ships and all? There's a story of a kraken type thing that he fought one and then
didn't kill it, and he went looking for it, and when his ship crashed into Panama, it formed the Panama Canal.
Yeah, that's great. Got stuck in the English Channel. So, I mean, all these stories, it sounds like he was a terrible sailor, but...
he once got stuck in the English Channel, and they had to slick up his boat to get it out, and the soap and the scraping turned the white cliffs of Dover white. Before, they were just hilarious. The fucking cliffs of Dover.
That's right. The English didn't have any lore about that, so Americans had to step in, fill it in.
And, you know, that sounds like it would be an awesome guitar solo. That is a song, Cliffs of Dover, sorry.
It's hilarious.
It's really good. That's exactly what it sounds like. Man, yeah, it's...
He was also a giant, I think.
Oh, 18 feet tall. Yeah.
So...
A baby more than 18 feet. Oh, he's 18 feet tall as a baby.
Pecos Bill.
You know, so that's a big baby. And he's not Paul Bunyan size.
Right.
Let's do one more because we've already singing the song. Davy Crockett. Never met a man he wouldn't fuck. I don't think that's how it goes, but let's hear what do we know about Davy Crockett?
This was a real dude.
Yeah.
Is born in 1796, and he was so popular, I think, that he became legendary. You know, he got around, like I said, I think he was a statesman in Congress representing Tennessee.
Skin caps are the height of fashion in your proximity, this dude is right up your alley.
Yeah, exactly. This guy, so we've got a dude in Kentucky that is basically the same dude, only he just didn't. He didn't go to the Alamo, and therefore I guess he didn't get into legend status. But have you ever heard of Daniel Boone?
Oh, Daniel Boone, yeah, of course.
Daniel Boone was a frontiersman and very famous for carving out a path through the Cumberland Gap in Kentucky, and settling and exploring and raising and homesteading. You know, when it was very difficult and dangerous to do, so.
And he was, you know, these guys are big and hunters and things like that. And
you know, The Patriot, the Mel Gibson movie, like when he goes feral and attacks, the caravan that has Heath Ledger, you know, in the forest, and it's just him going down there and you know, that's kind of like what these dudes were, or at least became in stories.
Right. Crazy.
just fucking insane.
Let's fucking kill. Nothing satisfied me as like the cries of my enemies or wrestling a gator.
And, you know, Davy Crockett became famous with this television show that kind of was part real, part fantasy.
It was one of the first television shows. He was born in 1796, so it was very ahead of its time.
Yeah, people didn't know what to think of
Davy,
it.
Davy Crockett. Yep. I can't remember.
And, and that's where that song
King
comes
of the
from.
Wild Frontier. Is that Davy
King
Crockett,
of the Wild
King
Frontier?
King of
yeah.
the Wild Frontier. Yeah.
He had a rifle. He called Old Betsy. You know. It was just he was a real dude that became legendary, and then the stories just kind of went from. He's kind of like Johnny Appleseed, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Only this one's probably a little bigger than.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't. I mean, Johnny Appleseed had cartoons and stuff, but
right,
I don't
that's
know if
true.
Had
but
a,
I think
have a serial.
People
show.
From outside of here might have heard of him more. I don't know. Seba, what do you call your rifle?
Lieutenant Sebastian Hawthorne.
That is incredibly, incredibly spot on.
That's who I took it from.
Well, that tracks.
Got my guess in 1778.
No, it was way before that.
Right.
So that's been a dive down folklore, and it's fun because it brought back so many memories, you know, and we didn't even get to some of the great heroes of folklore, like Marilyn Manson and, Marilyn Manson. Charles Manson. I can't even finish my own fucking thought process for jokes. who would be another fucking dumbass that's someone that they put up on a pedestal, you know, didn't really do anything, but then they made him out to be much more. You know what I mean? I was making a joke, but then I started thinking like, well, that is kind of, you know, at least
Jim Jones,
like a Jim Jones. Juice and knocking out with one punch. Yeah, probably so.
I like Henry Ford, Edison, you know, these
Brent
types
Hand.
Of assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
Chase, JP Morgan.
Who's
JP
your favorite?
Morgan, and who's my favorite asshole?
Well, I mean, you can answer that figure. For fun, but who's do you have a favorite folklore story?
Person?
Yeah.
Of the ones we've talked about, maybe I love the story of John Henry.
I
think that's it's a great story because it's there's a clear lesson to be told in there and an allegory and all that stuff.
What about one we didn't talk about?
One we didn't talk about is Casey Jones.
Oh yeah,
have you? You know that one that he's a famous railroad conductor, and this is he's a true figure too that has kind of been. Launched into legend because the story goes that he sacrificed himself to save his passengers when they were making a train run in the early days of it. So he was famous for conducting trains and getting the trains to where they needed to go quickly and on time.
And so it was interesting. He was kind of famous because he was very friendly. He'd help everyone out. He always wore a hockey mask and he had a golf bag with him full of all sorts of sports accoutrement. Just a fun guy.
Which he would use to whack the train along the tracks. But yeah, that's always a fun one to talk about. I mean, it's a sad story because he dies in it, but it's a sacrificial story.
Clan.
He sacrificed himself for people. Now there is there is truth to that story as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun one.
That's a story
that's not
for
on
another
this
day.
List.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome though. And maybe we can do some more of that and have you pick some that you think are worthy and we can do deep dives. But this has been America. What are your folklore out there? If you're not from the good old US of A and you're probably listening to this going, why the fuck do we care about John Henry and Charles Manson, Charles Manson and all the other amazing folklore people that we talked about this hour. Let us know multiple ways. Go to Facebook, jump on the Hysteria Nation, and tell us through there. You can email us weird@hysteria51.com and also send us your weird stories. We need some. We got to do some more of those. So get us your weird@hysteria51 weird news from around the world and let us know what folklore from other countries we should be covering. Links, help, just words, telepathy. That's a fun one. Telepathy usually doesn't work or smoke signals because we're not Geronimo, but otherwise we got that going for us. Do you have folklore from another country that you love? Do you know of any?
Me? I can't get enough Irish and Scottish folklore.
We've done a few of those, you know, with the women that they take the seal skin
Kelpies.
Off. Kelpies. Yes, thanks.
Kelpies. And I'll tell you, probably the biggest, the analog to, I guess that's how you put it, to Paul Bunyan for the Irish would probably be Finn McCool, who created the Giant's Causeway in the north and
that
stuff.
That is
and
a like, fucking you know. Name. What's your name? Finn McCool. Finn my fucking cool. What's your middle name? Danger. It was. I changed it in college. Thank you, Bloodhound Gang.
What's your middle name? Bitch, I'm.
What?
Finn, bitch, I'm McCool.
Bitch, I'm okay, I get McCool. It. What do you smoke?
Anyways,
not cools, unfortunately.
There's all sorts of things like that. In France, Reynard the Fox is a fun one that we could go into. He's a folk hero. King Arthur falls under this.
I've been working on my French accent also, so I could dust that off.
Nice.
Oh, you want a baguette? We could eat it and stare at shit in the Louvre.
The Louvre.
Yay. You guys want to go to the Louvre and eat a baguette? Oh, these craps are really tasty for breakfast.
Maybe we can go to Notre Dame. We can eat some croissants.
Oh, hey, I give up. It's the French. All right, kids. Get your folk stories into us or folklore or whatever you want. Make one up. We won't even know. We won't even Google it. Who knew?
That's the beauty.
And with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.